Mini episode 494 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with a tremendous mini episode for you today. We have a great conversation with a gentleman who is, suffice to say, a friend of a friend. The great Gary Herman, the prince of sports travel, is a mutual friend between us and in some way helped to make this appearance possible. We have a gentleman who is going to be on the show today talking about what we've gotten into previously with Gary Herman, that, of course, being the wonderful world of sports travel. Let's call it extreme sports travel because, again, Gary Herman and his traveling companion, the prince and the king, as they are, of sports travel, they've been all over this great land of ours many, many times over and gone to different places. This gentleman also has been to every one of the stadiums and arenas in the Big Four professional sports in America. And additionally, he has a book chronicling a very specific trip that he took, going to every NFL stadium in the course of one season. He extracted that to show all of us out there how we could do this for the 2014 season. It's called Ultimate Football Road Trip. It is the 2014 edition and is available on Amazon for Kindle users or those with a Kindle app on their tablet. I speak, of course, of Sean McDonald from Stadium Journeys. It's a pleasure to have him on the show, bring him on. As I say, we have a good mutual friend here. It's nice to get to talk to him personally. Sean, welcome to the FDH Lounge today, sir. How are you?
Good, Rick. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I reviewed a copy of your excellent book. Thank you for passing along a PDF copy of it. It was a pleasure to get to go through it and get to see the origins of the project and how everything came out of it. You touched lightly on the circumstances of your trip there, and I'm guessing you may not, you probably had reasons for doing so, but is there anything you can talk about as far as what enabled you to be able to go out and hit the Hastings that one fall?
Well, I was living overseas last year, 2013, and my wife was accepted into a school here in the United States, and her school started in September, and I was able to essentially leave my job in August, and that opened up the NFL season perfectly, 4 months. And I had been planning this trip for years. Every season, I had planned a potential trip. And only when the Thursday night games started coming out every week, which really only happened probably in 2012 to start, was I able to actually think about this realistically. And it just happened that last year everything worked out with my wife getting accepted here. I had some savings from the job, and the schedule was perfect. You know, I started up in Denver, finished in Seattle, so I was able to avoid that long drive in the middle of the season. And I finished on the West Coast, so I missed the Northeast winter. And you know, that's really how it all came about.
The interesting thing about this is I had to chuckle as I was reading through because I'm probably one of the very few people out there to have even attempted to map out anything similar to that. Long story short, as Gary Herman has tried to get some media projects to cover their various travels, I got involved at one point checking to see if it was possible to do all 122 facilities in a year. So I'm familiar with the process. You go through and how do you get from this city to that city? And I was looking at it, of course, with the NFL and everything else going on through the course of a year. It's very difficult, but of course, as you pointed out in the course of the book, if you're going to limit it to one sport, the NFL, when you're looking at a percentage, of course, of the games played, that's the toughest of any of the four individual.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's only 17 weeks and 32 teams, and you have to see MetLife twice, the Jets and the Giants. And you really only have the Thursday and Monday games. Pretty much every week you have to see one of those games. So it really limits your choices for the Sunday game. You can't be seeing a Thursday game in Seattle and a Sunday game in Miami, for example. It's just not going to work. So the schedule really has to work out for you in order to complete this trip.
Absolutely. And all of the different travelogue type things that you mentioned about each city when you get there, assuming that you have some time on the ground, Those are very useful as well. There are plenty of great nuggets in there. I could say, for example, in my native Cleveland, Ohio, and everybody around here always barks a lot about how great the art museums are, but you gave a lot of great validation to the one in particular that apparently ours is world-class compared to some of the other ones out there. So you take the time to delve into what each market has to offer.
That's right. Well, I've been to each of these cities more than once. I've been to every baseball, hockey, basketball stadium as well. So a lot of that has happened on previous travels. I've been to Cleveland many, many times, just to see everything. Of course, the Cavaliers, the Indians, and even the Lake Erie Monsters. So I spent quite a bit of time there. And the art museum there is one of the best, and it's surprising that people really don't know about it. It doesn't really come up on things to see in Cleveland that you might expect. And one of the things I try to do with the book is stay away from sort of the beaten path. Everybody knows about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so I don't really mention that in too much detail because it's already there. So I'm trying to get people to think differently when they visit these cities.
Absolutely, and you've got some culinary recommendations as well, some places to swig down some beers. Prior to or after a game. I thought it was very interesting the way that you really got into the color of each city, certainly.
Yeah, it was a tough job, but somebody has to do it. But visiting the bars in each city was one of the most enjoyable aspects of it. I always would sit at a bar and talk to the people next to me and explain to them what I was doing. It was quite gratifying, to get the support from those people, complete strangers, but everybody was very supportive, and very helpful in terms of giving me other things to do and see in the city. And Cleveland was one of my favorite spots. I particularly love the location of the stadium there on the lake, and the downtown area is just a few blocks away, and so many good little bars around there that I really enjoy.
Yeah, and it's constantly changing, as are a number of the different cities out there. So it's an interesting snapshot in time, certainly for people looking to do this and follow the recommendations and get out there on the road. It's very kind of counterintuitive as well that you can't always go by. I know from what you were saying about some of the stadiums in there, when they were built, how you would rate them as far as amenities and everything else. And certainly, when they built the Dome in St. Louis there, I remember hearing some great things about it at the time, and yet it manages to place at the bottom of the list here as far as what's provided. And, perhaps that's a reason that the Rams may be looking to go somewhere, but I thought it was just very interesting that it sort of makes you throw aside some of your preconceived notions when you go through this book and you read the hands-on ratings of how each stadium stacks up to the others.
That's right. There's certainly, in terms of rating stadiums, I guess what you say, a common conception that this stadium is the best and this stadium is the worst. I try to stay away from that and put in my own viewpoint. So certainly Green Bay Lambeau was top of the list, and it'd be hard to argue with that. But I put Pittsburgh at number two just because I had such a great experience there. I saw the Sunday night game, which meant I had the whole day to walk around the stadium and enjoy the tailgating. And so there's a public tailgate there with all of the early games on TV. That was quite a bit of fun. And even Cleveland gets, First Energy Stadium doesn't really get a lot of publicity as a stadium, but it's actually quite a good place to see a game. Not only the location, but the food there is very good, and the sight lines are excellent. And I know there are some renovations in the off season, so I have to get back there to see how those have changed things. But it's one of those sort of unsung heroes of the NFL.
Absolutely. And in terms of changes, I know that overall, with trying to do exactly the same thing that the Prince and the King are doing with going around to all the different, not just NFL stadiums, but all the other ones out there, make sure you've seeing a game everywhere. Of course, we're right about at the time where the Prince and the King are checking out a game at the new San Francisco 49ers stadium to keep their list current. I know you like to do the same. I wonder how far that extends. Does that go to, say, interim stadiums, like when the Bears played downstate for a period of time there, Vikings have an interim home, Seahawks did for a period of time. Are you one of these guys that likes to make sure you hit those things and then the new one?
Yeah, I was in Minnesota earlier this year, actually, for the TCF Bank Stadium, and I consider that sort of a worthwhile visit. It's a temporary home, but they're there for 2 years, and I would consider that part of the membership of Club 122.
2 years, yeah. I mean, if it's 2 years, it seems like that's part of their lineage. At 1 year, you can kind of say, oh, well, but 2 years, it definitely seems that way. How do some of the interim facilities stack up? I know in a lot of cases it ends up being a collegiate one. That's certainly the case in Minnesota. That was the case with the Seahawks before they moved into Quest when they were sharing with the University of Washington. How does that experience kind of differ? I mean, the first thought is you probably have less amenities. The seating is probably different in a lot of ways, but is it a lot of the things that people would think like that, or is it different in ways people might not expect?
Well, for Minnesota, the main difference is that you don't really get very much Viking memorabilia, Viking themes like that. They don't have much that they can do. You know, the seats are obviously for the Minnesota Golden Gophers, so there's a big M, but it's not in purple and in gold, it's in maroon and gold, which are the colors of the college team. And there's around, as you walk around the concourse, there's memorials to the past teams of the Golden Gophers. There's not a lot of history there for the Vikings. But other than that, TCF Bank at least is one of the better stadiums in terms of the college game. It just doesn't hold enough for the NFL. And so I think there's maybe 52,000 seats or something like that. So it's quite a small stadium. And at the end of that, you don't really get the feeling that you're watching an NFL game.
Right. And it's a relatively new place as well, because, again, it wasn't too many years ago. They were both sharing the Triple H Metrodome and playing their games there. And ironically, they're both sharing a stadium again for a period of time. Until the Vikes get their new one open, which I understand is going to host the Super Bowl in a couple of years. But so obviously that'll be one that you're out to at some point as you continue to check off your list. How is it going in terms of getting awareness of the book out there this year? I know that, again, this is the template for perhaps future projects to come here. You put this one together. It's going to be one that's fairly specific for the 2014 football season, although it'll definitely make a worthwhile thing after the season as well to look back on. But what are your thoughts about this as far as how you may perhaps adapt it in the future?
Well, we had a bit of publicity early on. One of the things I wrote as an offhand remark was that the Bills fans were the drunkest. I happened to see them in Cleveland, and even there at my hotel, there were a number of Bills fans that were wildly inebriated after the game. And so I put that in, and that generated a lot of publicity nationally even. Bills fans are the drunkest in the league, says writer. And that led to a number of interviews and news articles, but it really didn't help the book in terms of gaining traction in sales. So at this point, I'm sort of revisiting the idea. What I'd like to do is perhaps take it away from like the season by season and make it more generic and just say like the NFL guide and add more stadium information in there, like the best place to sit, seating maps, that sort of thing, to make it more generic and be able to sell it on more of a year-to-year basis without having to make many changes.
That makes a lot of sense. And again, because you've got plenty of material in there that could easily be retrofitted, because you've already got a lot of great material in there about each city and about the different stadiums and everything. When you were out there on the road, when you were hitting it, what was it like in terms of your average amount of time to be able to spend in a city? And I understand that may have varied wildly. If you were going to be in a stadium having to drive a decent ways from Sunday to Monday night, it could be a little bit different. But did you tend to get there a lot of times during the season where you had time to check out a lot about the local doings, or have you relied more so on your previous travel experiences for what you were going on for each city?
Yeah, I guess it would depend on the city. Most cases, I generally get at least 2 or 3 days in each city, and that gave me enough time to check out the restaurants, the bars, and 1 or 2 attractions. There were times, of course, where I had the Sunday-Monday thing. Indianapolis comes to mind, where I was in, driving from Denver to Indianapolis. This was a season opener last year, and I arrived in Indianapolis on late Saturday night for the Sunday afternoon game and took off right away to get to Washington for that Monday night game. And I didn't see much of Indianapolis, but I had been there before, so I was able to use some of that knowledge. And then driving up to Green Bay from Miami later in the trip, I stopped in Indianapolis and went to the Brickyard, where the Indy 500 is held. And I was able to add that to the book, so that was a good thing. But in a lot of cases, I was using previous visits, particularly in terms of attractions. Attractions generally don't change as much as restaurants and bars. So I was able to remember what I had done in past visits and put that into the book.
Absolutely. Now, a trip the size of Indianapolis to Washington for a Sunday to Monday type deal, that would seem off the top of my head like it might have been one of your longer stretches through the course of the year. Was that kind of atypical, or did you have a fair number of monsters like that one in there?
That was certainly one of the tougher ones in terms of day 2 games in 2 days. that I can remember. I tried to avoid any of those. I had to stop in West Virginia overnight and made it to Washington probably about 2 p.m. The next day. But generally, the schedule worked out very well. The longest drive was the Miami to Green Bay over. That I had 3 days to do that, and that was not so bad in the end. I think it was about 8 hours a day, something like that, which isn't that bad. It sounds like a lot, but when you're actually doing it and you're driving, you just sort of go with the flow, and it passes quite quickly.
Nevertheless, though, from the southern tip of America to just about the northern tip of the lower 48, 3 days still doesn't seem like enough time to be able to do that. That really is something. And yet, I have to believe, having sat down ahead of time, I have to believe that even that comes as a result of you charting it as efficiently as you possibly could. I guess that just shows the inherent difficulty of hitting 32 stadiums in 17 weeks, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd spend probably 2 weeks after the schedule came out perfecting the trip. The first one I had was probably an extra 5,000 miles at the end, and I started playing with and saying, I think it can be improved. And a lot of the assumptions we make about the geography of the United States, at least I make, is, for instance, I often consider Cincinnati to be in the east, but it really isn't. It's quite a ways from, say, Philadelphia or Washington. And as one example, I moved a Cincinnati game that I had on a Sunday afternoon that would have necessitated me driving from Baltimore to Cincinnati and then back to Philadelphia for a Thursday night game. I moved that out and took that away, and it saved 1,000 miles on the trip. So you really do have to take your time and look at all the options to really get the best schedule, which is generally the one with the least amount of driving.
Absolutely, yeah. And as I said, I remember putting on the green eye shades, working on a proposal for Gary Herman, squinting at it like, okay, if he stays in L.A. a couple days, he could catch a Lakers game and a Clippers game. How about the Kings? When are they coming back to town? So it's a hard thing to do regardless. But, yeah, the NFL part of when I was working on something like that, really, it just kind of convinced me how difficult that it we're going to be or not. Make it a lot harder on the scene. To stay. There's been a little bit of speculation perhaps in recent years, the way the NFL is looking to monetize everything and get to being a $25 billion industry, as Roger Goodell claims they're going to be by the end of his tenure, we might perhaps at some point be seeing Tuesday night football. So off the top of your head, how much easier would that make it if they extended, and that would obviously be the last game of the weekend rather than the first game of the next week, but how much easier would that make it if they dropped at least a handful of Tuesday nighters on the slate?
I mean, it would certainly make it a bit easier, especially if they made Monday and Tuesday games close to each other, or you could at least choose from this after Sunday, you could choose the Monday or Tuesday. So it certainly would make it probably quite a bit easier if there's, say, an extra 10 Tuesday night games. So.
Well, I don't suppose that anything they're going to do is out of sympathy for the sports travelers out there, but that might perhaps be one side benefit if they were to do that. So, yeah, as I say, this is a really, really excellent book. I greatly enjoyed reading through it, and it just flowed very quickly and enjoyably as I was going through it. I'm sure you're getting a lot of great feedback. In terms of your sports traveling and the way that you're looking to parlay that into continuing to write about it, what's your next sense of where you go from here?
Well, I've got a number of small trips planned over Thanksgiving, for example. I'm going to Florida to see a couple of college basketball games at UCF and USF, and the Lightning are home to Ottawa Senators. I'm actually from Ottawa. And then the Giants, I'm now living in New York. The Giants are in Jacksonville, and what is really not a great game, but it's always about seeing the new stadium. The Jacksonville has undergone a number of renovations itself this offseason, including, I think, some new jacuzzis and a whole bunch of stuff like that. So I'm going down there, and I'll be doing a review for Stadium Journey for that. So that's the next trip next weekend. And then in December, I'm off to San Francisco, where Gary and the King are right now. And I'll be seeing games in Oakland and, of course, Levi Stadium in Santa Clara to keep my membership current in Club 122.
Excellent. And, I've heard very interesting things about the fan experience there, and that is supposed to be one of the better places in the league for Wi-Fi and some of the amenities like that. And certainly they're going to be hosting some very big events in the time ahead here. First, WrestleMania 31 next spring, the Super Bowl the year after that. So you'll be able to fill in everybody who's going to be going those places on what it's like. And, of course, your work can always be followed at Stadium Journeys. And Again, just like you give a plug for anything that you have going on that you would like the people to know about, Sean.
I'll just mention the book again. It's called Ultimate Football Road Trip. It's a 2014 edition. It gives you a schedule to follow through 2014, tells you how to plan your own trip. Obviously, the season's more than half over now, so you won't be doing the trip this year, but it gives you a lot of tips on just how to plan a trip. And if you're going to just one or two cities, for example, if you Cleveland's on the road in Houston and you're going down to Houston, it gives you tips on hotels, where to get tickets, some bars nearby, that sort of thing. It's available. The book is available on Amazon.com, and it's $4.99.
An excellent resource, and as I say, very enjoyable to go through as well. It is well worth it for anybody who has any interest in sports travel or even travel of any kind, because you have so many great nuggets in there about the different cities. People should definitely check that out. Really appreciate your time, Sean. It's been a pleasure having you on the show for the first time, and as things go along in your journeys, look forward to catching up with you in the future and any projects that you have going on subsequently.
Thank you very much, Rick. It was a pleasure.
Oh, really appreciate having you on, Sean. Thank you so much, and thank you, everybody, for tuning in today to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.